before the animals from upstairs.
Yeah, the bridge truck.
All right, gang. Let's hit that theme song.
I know,
we're doing good.
We
had it queued up.
It's my fault.
So, am I doing the music again all of a sudden? All right, this is a perfect lead-in song for our guest that we're having out a little bit later. She is a producer of the Russian 5 movie documentary. We're going to talk about that. We are Puck Off. Here we are. Joe Bartnick, Fraser Smith, Andy Baccaro, and we have a very special guest, Joe.
One of our all-time favorite guests, an old-school guest, still plays the game.
He's still playing.
He's got outlandish ideas. We love him. Hilarious comedian. The great Nate Craig is here.
Yeah, man.
All-time favorite guest.
One of them.
My career just flashed before my eyes. A lot of emotions washing over me right now.
I'm impressed you're still playing.
Thank you, buddy. Yeah, well, it's hockey. You can do it.
Yeah.
It's low impact if you play with the right group and nobody's trying to do too much.
Right. Unless you play with me.
Yeah, then it's all impact.
A little TNT. Oh, Mr. Picaro, good to see you. I was gone last week.
So
this is officially our 7th anniversary show since I wasn't here last week.
Is it really?
Seven years. 2 episodes.
I'm going to need some more of that CBD oil.
I know. A great sponsor. Keeping you up.
Yeah.
You were up late last night.
I was watching the
Russian 5, the lady, Jenny Fedorovich, something like that. I'm terrible with names.
Fedorovich.
There you go. That's why Nate came up with the proper pronunciation.
That's why you're the
captain.
Well, I just read it.
50 years of broadcasting.
She did a good job with that doc.
The doc is amazing. We're going to talk about that. But first things first, after last week, you know, Fraser, you were there for the original rant that was a 10 out of 10 on the Richter scale.
That was a 10.
Last week's about 3 compared to my Mike Johnson. They're going to trade.
Yeah, it was a mini rant.
It was a mini rant. Penguins 3-0. They call up the kids.
The kids are looking good.
Dominic Simone scored. What? Zach Aston re-scored. But here's the thing with Zach Aston. First of all, if you need to call some 10 guys up from Wilkes-Barre to get you to play hard, then quit now. Quit now if you need to wake. If you need a wake-up call from Wilkes-Barre, quit now.
But how about those kids coming through?
Lafferty, kind of a Pittsburgh kid.
Yeah.
You know, just outside of Pittsburgh. Blandisi, I loved him as a devil. He played well. And then the other kid, Johnson. Johnson played great. Adam Johnson. He's going to win some awards. And then Jari. No more midget Casey DeSmith in net. Jari standing tall. You had to love it. You had to love it, Andy.
And what I liked about it was there was only a few weeks ago that we were told Jari was gone. Jari's going. That they weren't going to have that backup goaltender, the one we liked more, because he was more movable than DeSmith. They were having that trouble getting under the cap. And they kept him. And they kept him because they knew he had the better upside. And they were trying to move him because he had the better upside, though, too. He was possibly movable. But with Murray being... Nothing bad about Murray, but with Murray being Murray.
100 wins.
Eighth fastest.
Well, eighth fastest to 100 wins.
And Murray is unbelievable when he plays and when he's in the zone, but you never know. Sometimes he needs 10 games or so to have some help.
Yeah,
and
everybody needs a good
backup. We got some confidence in Jari now.
You got to have him. You got to have two goalies, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I just, Lafferty killing it. Johnson, everybody killing it. Now maybe we can trade Bukestad. We can trade Bukestad because then you take Jack Johnson with him.
You've been trying to get
Marino. I'm an anti Jack Johnson, but if there's gonna be a logjam and we need cap relief, I'm more down on Bukestad, to be honest with you, because he is softer than yellow baby poop.
That's pretty soft.
To be that big.
That's soft.
To be that big and avoid contact like people have,
Yeah, he's a big guy. Well, everyone's been talking about Jack Johnson going.
Yeah,
what do you think is going to happen there?
Me and Andy aren't on the... We're not Jack Johnson bashers, per se. But
no.
If it's him or Gabranson, Gabranson's an animal. And you need someone to tackle Terrible Tommy, Wayne Simmons. You need a hammer back there. Jack Johnson's like a Phillips screwdriver.
I've been defending Johnson a little bit, but I do think that... I don't think they're that much better if they move him, but I agree with Joe. The movement there is Bukestad because of how much he makes and the fact that... If you're a center and you leave and no one really notices and the team still plays well, like Gino's not there, but you notice. Yeah. Bukestad's not there, and who noticed? He's not noticeable. He's a big guy who's not noticeable, which isn't that
easy. It's a free skate. He can play with Nate Craig on Mondays.
Nate
doesn't hit anybody. They could still win, be injured to play. Bukestad only
Nate
hurts
and the guys
himself.
Would run him out.
Nate only injures. I mean, Bukestad only injures himself. He can't hit anybody else. I just, and I'll tell you, Schultze. I love Schultze.
Yeah.
What a difference. And then they say Marino looks like Schultz light, but you know what? If somebody else has to move other than the big two and, of course, Mr. Rust, then send them because we need Schultzy. Schultzy has to sign in the summer. He's a key.
He's the best all-around defenseman they have.
Dumo.
Dumo's the best defensive defenseman in his own zone.
Right.
But Schultz brings what Letang brings. And
oh, 100%.
And he's in his own zone. 100%. He has them both.
Because now I think we talked about the Penguins enough for a national show. Now I'm going to take the other side from the wife to the mistress. Our Kings are awful.
They're awful.
They are awful.
What is happening?
Jonathan Quick, he might be playing Monday nights with you, Nate. Hey, have you watched any Kings, Nate, this year?
I'll make him feel great. I'll get Jonathan Quick. I'll get his angles all right, man. I'll make him feel like a million trillion.
I don't know, buddy. He's looking pretty bad. I mean, we all love him, but wow.
Campbell just lost last night for the first time. He was 2-0. When Campbell plays, the Kings look like, okay, they're going to be in it till
Campbell's
February.
Campbell's their guy now. Wow.
I was going to say that. That was the number one thing I'd say about the Kings was that Campbell should be the starting goaltender. I know it's a small sample size, but he's been way better. His goals against is way higher, and they just have a chance to win when Campbell's in.
Yeah. How many years Jonathan Quick been in the league?
10, at least.
Yeah, going 10. On a decade, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what it is about that two-goalie thing. I mean, when did that start about? A couple years ago?
Well, it's gotten more important, I think, in the last couple of years.
I feel like the game is so skilled now that these goalies just get wore out.
Yeah.
Their groins and their hips are just going...
Well, and that was the thing about Quick. What an acrobatic goalie when he was in his prime.
Yeah, you can't...
He's all over the place.
You can't keep that up.
Yeah.
They're like running backs in football. You got to get them for that core, like 4 or 5 years where they're great. And then, I think it is. You're right, it's just too tough.
You would think that the players are out there in harm's way and that they're the ones that are going to grind down. But these goalies now with the sticks and with the speed of the game, it's off the charts these days.
Pads got smaller, and all we do is talk about more ways to score. We don't really ever talk about – the rules committee is never like, how do we help out the goalies? Every summer, it's about the guys entering
exactly,
the zone.
Exactly.
Yeah. I think they've been helped out a little bit. I mean, you can't look at them anymore. They never get run. I met him. He was super nice. I love the guy. He brought my mistress 2 cups. I don't even think he'd be traded right now, though.
That's the thing. They probably should have dealt him a couple. Last year, year before.
On all the other stuff too with the whole team. I'm making this. It's not all on Quick. Doughty looks like bad Letang. Badly. Stupid plays. Lazy.
He got hurt at the end of the game, too.
Yeah, he totally looked like Letang when he got run into the boards and didn't get up for a while.
Yeah.
His power play decision-making was on the Letang head injury level stupid last night. He was terrible on the power play. And speaking of which, they had one call-up, Lizette. He was their second line center. They moved Carter. You talk about Bukestad being invisible. Carter was Casper the Friendly Ghost. He played second line. I don't remember anything he did. He didn't even take a dumb penalty. They're doing it with the same. We bitch every week. They're doing it with the same exact people. The same people that stunk 3 years ago are still skating around stinking. It's an atrocity.
They held on to Kempe, right?
Yeah, he didn't do anything.
I think he is a good
guy.
He's a stud.
Yeah, he really is.
Frage, I'm not going to bring it back. I'll bring it back to the Penguins for a second. How do the Penguins call up half of Wilkes-Barre and they score? And the Kings can't find anybody?
No, they don't have
anybody.
Scoring. Yeah, you're right.
Rob Blake, get off the beach and make a goddamn trade.
That's the problem is the front office for the Kings. What did Rob Blake do?
What's the minor league team for the Kings? What's the
Ontario Reign.
Ontario Reign, not too far away down the 210.
Yeah.
But I think that we talked about it. All that they've done over the past 3 or 4 years is been obsessed with adding size and getting lumbering size back. They don't have any speed.
That's what you need in the speed league.
They don't have anything.
They don't have any speed. And honestly, the one guy I feel really bad for, Kopitar's playing.
He is.
Oh, yeah.
Kopitar is playing his butt off. When I watch them, and I haven't watched a lot of them, the other night, if you knew they were playing – Kopitar was just all over the place. And I think that he's the one guy on the team that's movable. But if you move him, there's now
what
no
do you
one.
Got?
There's no one to go see, and there's no one playing hard.
He broke his stick over the he broke his stick last night. He was so mad.
I was watching that.
Oh my god. I mean, I watched that whole game. It was torture already enough of those guys. Speaking of awful though, how about the Devils, who I picked like fourth in the Metro?
Me too. what happened? They got Subban, they got Jack Hughes. Not Gusev, you know, nothing's happening.
You mean
there.
You mean the Hughes with the second most points in the league? Because his brother's already scored.
Yeah,
and his brother's playing well in Vancouver. And
this kid's off to a slow
maybe
start.
Maybe Schneider for Quick. I you know, I mean, Schneider
problem for problem.
Yeah, well, you know, Schneider has been awful.
Wait a second. Well, what are we in? Like six, seven, eight games?
Yeah, you're right, though.
You
that's
can't,
right.
Yeah, but you know what? The league's that competitive. You can't get 10 points out and be. And not have a bunch of superstars and come back.
Well, everybody thought they were going to do really well this year.
Yeah, they did kind of load up, though, right?
Yeah, they did.
On paper, the roster was something to get excited about.
Well, now Taylor Hall, kind of clubhouse cancerish. Now there's like, what's going to happen with him?
Well, that's what I said about Subban, right? That's the line on Subban.
Well, now, do you think they turned
But Subban actually, you know, I mean, I know Hall won the MVP, but let's say out of 8 years, how many good ones has he really had? Two? But, I mean, Subban is... Norris Trophy. I mean, I'll take. Subban has a big contract, and he's easy to move because people want him.
Yeah, but the word is he's just a me guy. He wasn't. I mean, what was he last? He was a role player last year. What was the last dominating season he had last year?
No,
he didn't have a great season. But I'd say he's still in probably the top, you know, fourth of NHL defensemen.
For the place he's at in his career. You know, what he does in the locker room and his attitude it comes into play a lot.
I think him and Letang and Doughty are easy to dog when it's going bad, and they're easy to prop up too much when it's going well because they're just high-risk defensemen. I think with Jersey, the biggest problem is that all we talked about was offense. We were like, they're going to have offense. They got all these young guys. They Zaka didn't go to Russia. Hughes is going to be there. And they don't score at all, and their goaltending's bad. I don't see any level of
solution there. Their defense is we thought Subban could be a real number one defenseman, and their defense is just terrible. They can't even get the puck up to their guys. And then we thought Schneider could be serviceable, and then you know they move Ruben Kincaid to Montreal. Kincaid is better than that rookie backup kid. I can't think of his name right now. That guy's terrible. I mean, they should have just kept Kincaid and tried to sucker someone into taking Corey Schneider. Corey Schneider hasn't done anything since he left Vancouver. He had one good year in Jersey.
How's Gusev doing?
He has one goal maybe. Monday on Columbus Day. Yes, it's Columbus Day. They blew a. They gave up five unanswered at the Rock. You can't give up five unanswered in the third.
No,
to Florida. I mean, Florida's not, you know, not the Red Army team. I mean,
well, to Nate's point, it is early, but do they turn it up? Are they able to get it together? Or are they gonna?
Here's the thing: you can't win a cup in October, but you can lose one.
It's not like
Gino and Rust, and they're not like 10 guys on the IR and they're only three points out. They have no wins.
Yeah. But look what happened to the Blues last year.
It's a long season.
Off to a horrible start.
Right, exactly. The Blues are a perfect example. They were done. They were buried. They were the worst team in the history of the franchise.
Yeah. I don't think their beat writers
were writing stories about them like they were.
The Blues have 10 guys on that team. The Blues had Petrangelo and Parayko
and O'Neill.
But they have two defensemen I'm not a big Bowmeister, but they had like five legitimate NHL defensemen. The Devils have like two.
I think the biggest difference is, and I'm not taking anything away from the Central because that's a tough division. I don't see the Devils getting a lot of wins the way the teams are breaking down on the East right now. I mean, the teams are going to play the bulk of their season against. I mean, first of all, the Hurricanes look amazing. Yeah. The Penguins are probably the most average team they'll play the most, and they're above average. So the Devils, they don't have a lot of pancakes coming up in the East. The East is pretty tight.
No, like, even
Ottawa's playing well. I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, Ottawa, like, plays every third game. But, like, the Sabres and the Red Wings are not doormats.
No, the Sabres.
How about the Sabres?
The Sabres look great. Yeah, the Sabres look like they're going to make the playoffs.
Well, I mean.
Nice start, though.
I'm just saying the difference between the teams that are going to finish 6, 7, and 8 and the teams that are going to finish 9, 10, 11, and maybe even 12 is like, don't blink because you'll miss the difference.
St. Louis had the Pacific last year to dine on.
Yeah, that's true.
They dined on the Pacific.
They were able to get a lot of wins.
They dined on the Pacific. They came to California and just ate burritos and enjoyed themselves and racked it up again. How about the Ducks looking pretty good right now,
Ducks are looking good.
I mean, and Gibby. I mean, they're going to wear Gibby out again.
Gibby might be the best goalie.
Getz is feeling it, though. He got thrown out of the game the last game they played. Just upset in Boston. I mean, they got some guys.
They're surprising.
The Ducky's got some guys.
Well, look at some of the teams that are off to a good start. You mentioned the Hurricanes, Colorado, obviously a good team.
Yeah, very, very.
Boston's off to a nice start.
Yeah, we knew Boston would be. Well, you know, I actually thought.
How about Edmonton, though?
James Neal has scored a goal in every game.
What's going on with the real deal? That is.
We knew he'd score on that team. But you know who's playing well for them is Cassian. Cassian's playing well. And I love it because I love seeing Captain Kangaroo have to sit in the upper deck, whatever, with an assistant to the GM hot dog man, knowing that he couldn't coach that team. I love that he just sit there and know that he couldn't coach that team because he's a Neanderthal moron.
Well,
Ken Hitchcock. I think it's scoring at home.
Okay. I think it surprised all of us to see Edmonton.
You saw the look on my face. I was like, I'm not going to pull last year's Oilers coach.
Well, it's surprising to all of us, I think, that Edmonton's off to such a good start because we thought they were going to.
Well, I'm not McDavid's biggest supporter.
They still got Draisaitl?
Yeah.
Who is probably their best player. And I'm not taking anything away from McDavid. McDavid probably is overall their best player, but Draisaitl's been amazing this
Pretty
year.
Pretty amazing guy.
Draisaitl is amazing. He was amazing in their one playoff series. But I'll tell you, I always find the flaws in McDavid's game. He's been remarkable this year. I've watched a few of them. He does have that extra burn speed.
Ridiculous. He's fast, man.
He's a ridiculous player.
I think he might be the best pure goal scorer right now, and I think Draisaitl might be have the best vision. I think they might have that one, too, because some of these out of Draisaitl's five assists that I've seen, four of them have been impossible. I think the two of them, they got to split them up. They got to make them play separately and have a 1-2.
It's crazy what they can do with the puck these days.
Speaking of ex-Geno wingers, I watched the Desert Dogs yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Kessel.
Oh, how's Phil doing?
Phil, Phil's on the power play, and here was the most remarkable thing. He got bad pass, and he put on the afterburners, like Phil Kessel, Boston Bruins coming down the wing style.
Yeah.
He caught the guy and made a defensive play on a breakaway. Whereas, as a Penguin...
He never backchecked.
Unless it was the playoffs.
Yeah.
And he certainly never backchecked on a power play. But, I mean, it was a dead-on Phil Kessel. It was like he was in the ice speed contest.
Well, he's got the afterburners if he decides to turn it
on. I liked what the Dogs did. The Dogs are playing okay. Started out strong. But Jarmelson out 3 months, broken fibula.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Ouch.
By the way he skated off as if he was just had the wind knocked out of him was impressive. When it came back, there was a broken fibula. So again, just one of those moments where I would have waited for a stretcher.
Yeah, he's tough. I mean,
He's always been tough in Chicago too.
Big bone.
And he's just he takes up so much space in front of that. He's great at blocking shots. He's got a big long reach. I think that's a huge miss for them.
You don't think they would have wanted to take Seabrook? Don't you think they wish they got rid of Seabrook and kept Jarmelson?
I would take Jarmelson for just a few games rather than Seabrook for the season.
Jarmelson, Chicago probably wouldn't have missed the playoffs last year if they had Jarmelson instead of Seabrook.
Yeah, the problem is it was Seabrook movable. Jarmelson was movable.
Well, the Blackhawks replaced him, though. Who's the kid? They got some rookie there they like.
What do you think of DeBrincat?
Oh, love him.
That's the defenseman, right?
Yeah, no, he's a forward.
Center.
Did they send him down? There was two
stars.
No,
DeBrincat just signed a three-year deal. Why don't we ask Nate, what are his three big changes he wants to make?
Oh, in the league?
Yeah, remember, you always have your crazy-ass ideas.
Oh, man, I don't like your tone off the bat. But I do think that I'd love to watch mandatory penalties. I'd like to watch a mandatory 2 minutes if you get a penalty.
You mean is no release. If
no
somebody
release.
Scores, no
yeah,
release.
Yeah, no release. Full release, but yes, not from the penalty box. I'm always just looking for the game to be more offensive because I don't, I always say that people judge hockey like they judge basketball, which isn't fair because it's three basketball courts and it's the speed is off the charts. And so I would like for there to be more goals just to kind of, I think it better suits the speed of the game. And so I always wanted to extend the blue line into the defensive zones probably 200 or 300%.
To defend it, to have it move in towards the
goal? So that you could get closer to the net before you're offsides, but it's the same distance to clear the zone for the defense.
So it's a, it's a, it's a, it, there's, yeah, you're adding lines.
I'm just making the blue line thicker, and I'm only moving one edge of it.
Right,
I'm keeping the neutral zone edge where it's at.
But technically, that's two lines.
I'm extending.
It's a different line to get out than it is to get in.
Yes, yes. So I'm changing.
Okay, that's a good. I like that.
I'm changing the inside line.
I like that.
That's a good one.
The outside line. The outside line. I'm changing.
That should we take a break for a second and see if we can get our
phone call?
Should I try?
I want to keep it up. Keep going.
Oh, okay.
So I like these ideas.
Well, that last one's not crazy. That longer blue line one is
I think I think it's gonna it's gonna fit guys. I mean, it's like designed for guys like, you know, Patrick Kane, or, you know, it's the speed guys who can get who you want to get open with. You know, it's what the NFL's doing. I'm not trying to make everything so commercially viable. I'm a hockey player, and I want to see guys with samurai swords, you know, and laser vision doing all that shit. It's really fun to watch. I love watching, you know, these guys with these beautifully weighted sticks put a puck wherever they want to. So get them open, get them the puck and a place to score from anywhere on the ice. And that's what I want to see.
Any rule that favors a Patrick Kane as opposed to like a five or a six defenseman, I think is a rule that has to be looked at. That's a good rule to think about. Yeah.
I'm just saying how fun for a no contact game, how fun is it to watch the All-Star game? Like, the NHL has dominated the All-Star game. I mean, they've played around with
it. I think the 3-on-3 is fun. I don't think the 5-on. I don't think the 5. I honestly think there's a little too much goal in skate nowadays. I like a little. I mean, what was to me the best part of
you want full contact in the All-Star game?
Is that our?
I bet it is. Look at it.
Is our guest.
Yeah, my favorite part of the Russian, we'll talk about it, was Scott Stevens' hit, actually.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh. How about Stevens in that documentary?
Oh,
my God.
Is that his biggest hit?
He's got a lot of them.
Or is it Eric?
He's got a lot of them.
Do we have our guest on the line?
Hello.
Oh, hey, Jenny. What's happening, Jenny?
Jenny, how are you? Hello. Can you hear us there? Hello, hello.
Hello? We had her.
I thought we had her.
That's all
Do
good.
We have a way to.
Emma's working on it now. We heard her.
And we did for a second. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, she says she can't hear. It's silent on her end, apparently. Well,
we got Emma working on it, though, but she called, so she's coming in.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. We just want to listen to that music again.
Jenny? Hello? Can you hear us? Hello, hello. Well, I guess.
Well, we're trying.
It's going to work now. It's going to work. There it is.
Okay.
Jenny?
Hello, Jen?
Hello? Yes.
Oh, hello. There she is.
Hello,
all right.
Jenny.
Okay. Jenny, how are you? Fraser Smith here, and we have the Puck Off crew here. Thank you for joining us. We're excited to talk to you because we really enjoyed your documentary. Joe Bartnick and I watched it last night, and it is phenomenal.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
And how do we say your last name? Jenny Fedorovich?
Fedorovich.
Ah.
Yeah.
Nate was right.
That's
right. And, say hi to Nate and Andy, too. They're here, too.
Hi.
Hi, Jenny.
And we just really loved your documentary, and congratulations on winning the award.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Several awards, and it's on Amazon right now streaming, so buy it out. We did. It was totally enjoyable, and it's just old school 90s hockey. What made your decision? I just growing up a big Red Wings fan that you're like, this is just a story you wanted to tell, or what was the turning point that made you want to tell this story?
Well, I followed hockey since I was a little girl. My dad actually played for Spartak, which is a Russian team, so I think he always kind of wished that I was a boy so I could play hockey, but girls didn't play hockey back then. So, but I was always, I was a big hockey fan. I came to Detroit in 1989 from Soviet Union around the same time as Sergei came and the Russian craze sort of started here. And the movie was actually the young director by the name of Joshua Rio. He was inspired to make the film first, and he was looking for money for 2 years and trying to get the project off the off and going, and wasn't able to. And somebody introduced me to him. And, you know, when he told me hey, I want to make the Russian Five. I was like, wow, how come nobody's made this story? You know, it's like a perfect Hollywood script that has everything in it. You know, it has tragedy, it has triumph, it has brotherhood. So I was certainly compelled. And, you know, for me personally, it's a legacy piece. You know, it's a story of this incredible human beings that will get to live on because...
Well, you know, it was like a Hollywood story. It was like a spy novel at the beginning, right? It's kind of a James Bond thing.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of everything, right? You open up as a spy novel, then, you know, there's this quest for the cop, and then, you know, there's tragedy, there's triumph, there's tears, there's laughter. There's a little bit of everything in that story, yeah.
And you got all the guys, too. That was what was great. You had you got all the players, and then you also got Gretzky was in there, and you had... McCarty and, you know, a lot of the guys that had some very interesting things to say. And I think also there was the whole Cold War background that was going on. They couldn't get out of there. And Gorbachev came in, and that sort of opened the door a little bit. And then the Detroit front office decided we need some of these Russian players, and they were willing to go after them.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody thought Detroit was crazy, right? I mean, they were drafting players, you know, that they thought they potentially could never see, right? And it's not like they were wasting, people thought, fourth draft pick where they could have gotten a good North American player.
Right.
But they decided to take a chance. They've seen the Soviet guys play, and they thought they were, like, pretty amazing. So they took a chance, and, you know, they were one of the first that were doing this.
I have a question. In between Konstantinov and Slava Kozlov, it seemed like it was a little bit easier for Kozlov to get out. Konstantinov, they had a fake cancer. Am I correct? They fake cancer to get him eligible so that he would not have to defect, so that he could get a discharge from the Army, so he wouldn't be a felon, so that he could get his green card so he could play for the Red Wings. That seems like a lot of hoops to go through. But then for Kozlov, it seemed like Russia – realize the value of having their stars in the NHL. Would you say that's correct?
I don't think so. I think his story, they still had to hand out a bunch of bribes to get it done. You know, because it was still, you know, it was still that time. I mean, think about it. Red Wings went into another country. They had, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. They had cars, and they were flat out bribing people and doing crazy things to get these players out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a pretty incredible story. You know,
sure.
I think at that time, Russians were still pretty like, well, pay me for these players, or no, they can't go. They were still flexing. I mean, I think they were just not sure even how the whole capitalistic society works, because that's not how Soviet Union functioned. There was no capitalism, right?
Well, if you offer me a Corvette, I'm coming. And some cash.
Well, you know, what's interesting is, like, even as of, like, you know, 2004, you know, Evgeny Malkin basically had to sneak out, and it was espionage. I mean, it still kind of goes on in a way. I did notice, though, that you really smoothed over or didn't talk about a Fetisov in Jersey, because he has a lot of organized Russian organized crime had a lot to do with getting these, or at least helping out the cause. You guys kind of skated that issue. Did you purposely skate that issue, or did someone say, hey, we don't want this in the movie?
I mean, I don't know if it had any relevance to what this story is. You know, there's so many incredible stories, and it would be so easy to sort of wear off tangent, and then it becomes its own story. So I'm not sure it was relevant, you know, relevant to this particular thing. But in the 90s, absolutely. There was lots of organized crimes. I mean, I think McGinley had an incident where his family was kidnapped, and they were asking him for a ransom for the money that he was making in America. I am not really sure with Slava Fetisov, because I wasn't privy to any of the stories on how this went down. So, yeah, it wasn't even an option for us to discuss that, because it wasn't relevant to our story.
It was hit upon that, you know, the players weren't as open. And we all know Don Cherry doesn't like Russian players, but I always thought that you know, that Fedorov was embraced because he was so good, but in the movie it showed like he wasn't really
embraced.
He kind
of shunned him when he first got
there.
Right? Yeah.
How did you guys learn about that, or, you know, how did that come out, you know?
I mean, it's just, it's human nature, I think. And we've heard the stories, and people were not necessarily forthcoming, because I don't think anybody wants to you know, come out on camera and say, no, I hated the Russians. I mean, I think Dan Cherry is the most
outspoken
person in that department. Except for Dan Cherry. And, you know, we just did a screening in L.A., and Jim Fox was on a panel, and he said, listen, if he was in America saying the same things he's saying there, he would have been fired a long time ago for his xenophobia that has continued for 20-plus years. But Sergey was that liked. I mean, he was great. He was incredible, right? He gets here. He doesn't really speak the language. You don't have the same customs. So it's kind of hard at first to become a part of the group, right? It's hard to assimilate. I think for any immigrant, I mean, when I came here, it was the same thing. It takes a while to assimilate. It doesn't matter whether you're a professional hockey player or just a regular person that moved to another country. And there's always going to be people that don't like you or understand you, you know, because they don't know you.
Yeah.
So there is definitely some things. And, you know, I spoke to Sergey yesterday, actually, extensively. We had a deep conversation.
Jenny,
no, people did not like me.
Yeah, Jenny, full disclosure, Sergey Fedorov is my favorite hockey player of all time that never played for the Pittsburgh Penguins. I absolutely love the man. Everyone on our show knows that. But it seems to be 50-50 in Detroit. Or we wondered today if his number was retired, and it wasn't. I guess the Free Press ran a poll and it was kind of 50-50. How do they view Fedorov in Detroit? Like as one of the greatest of all time, or is it still like, oh, he went to play different places? And what do people, thinking back, what do they think of Fedorov right now?
You know, I don't know if it's 50-50. I would say it's 80-20 from what I see and what we're witnessing. I think the overwhelming majority of the people and the fans in Detroit think he was one of the greatest player, and he was the reason why we got those cups.
Absolutely.
And we consistently get retire 91, retire 91. When is his jersey going to go up?
That's what I'm saying, Jenny.
Contingent.
That's what I'm saying, Jenny.
Listen.
It should be up.
You know, that would be great. I personally think it should go up. But
there's
a contingent of fans that think that he was disloyal or whatever else. You know, there's definitely things, how he left, what he left. The problem is that nobody really knows anybody's story deeply. And to the end, right? So I don't think he's ever come out. I wish he would come out and say things that he said to me in private and explain where his head was, what was happening in his life. Because in actuality, it wasn't about the money to him. It was about other things that were happening in his life. And it was about the agents not properly explaining and maybe delivering the importance of what was happening. And it was just life. And I think deep down inside, he might even regret that decision, but now it's irrelevant. Bottom line is, how do you retire a number? Does the person have to finish in that team, or does the person have to do so many significant things for that team? You know,
that's
up for the ownership to decide.
Which
you know,
did.
We're going to have him in Detroit. I haven't said it anywhere yet, but we're making plans to have him here in December. So we will see what the fan turnout will be and what it's going to look like when
Good
he comes
Lord.
To town.
I mean, a Hall of Fame player that had to defect to get to your franchise. I don't know what Detroit could not like about that.
Yeah, right? Good point.
Absolutely. How was Vladimir Konstantinov? I mean, that was the one thing that the tragedy at the end, and everyone, you knew it was coming. I mean, such
it's
a great
a
player. I mean, he would be in the Hall of Fame. Just an incredible hockey player. How is he doing now? How is his recovery? Is he leading an okay life? What's up with him?
Well, you know, he was just inducted into Michigan Hall of Fame last Saturday. So we had a pleasure of being there, and we prepared scenes from the film to induct him. You know, bottom line is he had 10% chance of survival. Nobody thought Vladdy would live through the night. It's 22 years later. I think they've done everything they could have done to the maximum of his recovery. He loves the film. He sings. He recognizes the players. He sort of lives that era. You know, as his personal life, he paints. I mean, I don't know if he's aware most of the time of what's happening. We, as a project, as a film, have been helping his family raise money. What people don't know is, yes, his medical needs are covered, but it's been 22 years, and the money they've had sort of for his everyday life is running out, and the family does need money. So his family set up a GoFundMe campaign. We released a watch. You know, we're donating 5% of the proceeds from the film. So we're very tightly knit with the family. And, you know, we're hoping that, you know, he will continue to live the lifestyle he's accustomed to. And the laws in Michigan are also changing for catastrophic coverage. And his attorney is saying there might be even some changes in his medical coverage down the line. But he is living life, you know. He's out and about. He comes to all our events. And
does he go to the games?
He goes to the games. It's a big tragedy.
Yeah.
It's a big tragedy how somebody's life changes because somebody makes a decision, you know, and nothing even happened to that driver, if you think about it. You've got Natsanov, who's paralyzed, and you've got Konstantinov, whose life has just been turned upside down.
Jenny, we have tons of Red Wing listeners and fans. Text Frazier the GoFundMe link, and we'll make sure our fans
absolutely
know about it.
Absolutely.
So we can we can send it out to them, and we'll tweet it out and stuff like that. We're gonna try to get him as much.
Yeah, that would be great.
Please send it to us. Go ahead, Frazier.
Well, I was gonna say, as much as I loved watching the Russians, my favorite part of the movie was when McCarty punched out Claude Lemieux. I just can't watch that enough. I could watch that on a loop.
Yeah, he scrubbed the boards with him.
It was my favorite part.
It's the most epic fight in all history of hockey. Come on.
Yeah, come on, man. We had, and I know you're friends with him, we had him on the show. We were fortunate enough to have him on the show a while back, and what a character. That guy's something else. Are you friends with him?
Yes, we're good friends with Darren. You know, Darren has been, you know, it's one of those things, we started making the film and people sat down on camera with us, but he's been our champion since day one. You know, I think a lot of times people are like, what are they going to make? Is it going to be good enough? Is it going to be nice? He was in from day one, and he's been a huge supporter of the film. He's toured the film with us. I really, really love Darren. I mean, it's just, he's such an amazing human being. It's really great to see him recover. He's had a difficult part of his life where it's kind of just, he lost a lot of people around him. And it's wonderful to see what, you know, how he's coming back and what he's been able to accomplish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fabulous story. Fabulous. I mean, the end's a tearjerker.
How tough a man you are.
It hits you. But the rest of it, absolutely so fun to watch. Old school hockey. The stories are amazing. Jenny, thank you so much for joining us.
We really thank you, and congratulations on all the awards you've won.
You're like Spielberg out there in Detroit with all your awards.
That was a well done documentary. Very well done.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And we appreciate you coming on the show, Jenny. Thanks so much. And send us that link, and we'll take care of that for you.
Yeah, please do. Yeah. We want to make sure that as many people can help as possible. I mean, I'm gonna send money. I love that
man.
I will too. You know, he was so awesome. He was one of my favorite players too.
All right, Jenny, thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations again on your great documentary, The Russian Five.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
All right, you take care. Thanks, Jenny.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What a cool lady.
Yeah, she's cool.
You enjoyed that interview, guys?
That's fun. That's an awesome story. What a perfect time for her to be moving to Detroit with that influx.
Could there be a bigger level of fandom than you move from a place across the world? And
all
then
of a sudden,
you land in the city
that's
going to be the first sports franchise ever to bring in five from the place you moved from.
You know what else it reminded me of is just how great Scotty Bowman
is. What a great point. Genius.
He's a genius. Yeah.
He really is.
He put that line together. He put them all in the same line.
Yeah. Even Fedorov respected him.
Yeah. He looks like you want to listen to him.
Right? Mm-hmm. Right?
You do.
I think my first time ever going to a Blackhawks game, 1988, 1989, I went to Chicago Stadium. I think I was at one of the games in this documentary.
Is that right?
The 4-2, yeah, the Russian Army team versus the Blackhawks. It was obviously exhibition, but I think it was before the regular season even started. You know, it was the Dirk Graham Chicago Blackhawks, and I think Roenick was I don't even know if Roenick was a rookie yet, but I think Dominik Hasek was like a third string goalie, and Sergei Fedorov was the guy. And I went with, it was my dad took me, and he had my dad was a high school teacher, and one of the kids that was going to Wisconsin on a scholarship to play hockey. He took us both down to go see this game, and the kid was like, oh yeah, there's this guy on Russia that's just lights out. He's best player in the world. He hasn't made it to the league yet, but he's gonna. And
wow.
It was Fedorov, and I think it was all. I mean, they all had to be on that team.
What was your take on them when you first saw him?
Well, I mean, I didn't have the keen hockey eye. I was just starting as a hockey player as a kid, but you know, they looked, it was just a well-oiled machine.
They were taking it to the NHL
teams. Yeah, it wasn't. They were, the Blackhawks looked a little bit less organized.
They were all surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I love the analysis in the documentary about the how they played keep away.
Yeah,
you know, and then how they became a little bit easier to defend once the league was
once
like, oh, we know what you want, yeah. We know what your goal is right here. It's, you know, to dominate the puck. And
well, that was the Devil. How the Devils beat them in that Cup final year was the Devils just put four guys on the blue line, and it was like, we're not going to let you get that speed to the neutral zone. It's just not going to happen.
So the trap.
The Russians
caused the trap, which caused
Had their own version. The left wing lock wasn't exactly not trappy. They were kind of that was the way they were doing it.
I love the two things I love besides Scott Stevens hit was the. We were talking about this outside, how they literally, like, they caused their own demise, or not demise, but their own problems when they ran Waugh out of Montreal. They scored 11 in Montreal.
Yeah, that was wild. I forgot about that. Yeah. Red Wings.
If it was like Andy Moog or whatever, right. in call, I forget.
They just take their foot off the gas for that one game. They have two more cups.
That's right. I like the way he went straight to the GM
right
after the game. I'm out of here.
Thank Jenny for the interview. And our sponsor, CBD, it is greenpathscience.com. Use PuckOff25, get 25% off. This is
awesome.
A real deal, right,
Frage? It's really great.
Frage loves it. I love it. All my pains, the karate, and keeping up
with
it.
I want to get a keg of it. It's so good.
Yeah, I use it as directed. But, you know, a lot of CBD oil is like snake oil. It's seed oil. It's not. These are scientists.
That's the real deal.
Yeah, so you got to use the dropper. You can't.
Can I take one of these right now?
Sure, man. I think this one's empty.
Oh,
okay. You know, it's for TV, Nate, or internet.
We'll get you one.
Green Path,
TV magic.
GreenPathScience.com. Get 25% off. Use the code.
That's a good deal.
PuckOff25. All right. The awards. Tons of awards this week. First of all, though.
Oh, yeah, man.
Fantasy update.
What is our fantasy update?
Well, you know, after week one, we got a new scoring system. I am in a 6-way tie for first.
What?
Yeah.
6-way tie.
6-way tie. It may not last, but I am in a 6-way tie for first. All right. Now
you're in first, though, for the first time ever.
Yeah, here we go with the Howie.
It's our Howie Young Award, Nate. Remember Howie Young?
No. Remind me.
The nutty guy that played for the Red Wings. Back in the early 60s. He wore a Beatle wig in the game.
But there's some great footage of Howie Ward out there.
Yeah. Chase the Rapper interviewing P.K. Subban was pretty funny.
That was funny.
I didn't even know. I don't know who Chase the Rapper was.
I didn't know he was playing a character.
Chance, yeah, I think it's Chance.
Whatever. Yeah. But he was playing a character, which I thought it was just him. I mean, he played like a dumb rapper. He really had to.
It was funny, though.
He had to act to do that. But anyway, it was really funny with P.K. Subban.
Yeah, that was good.
All right. We're doing next the
Korea.
The Paul Kariya Award.
And who are Paul Kariya candidates?
Well, my buddy, Pittsburgh Penguin, Adam Johnson, got crushed by Hartman and then came back and still scored.
That is a true Kariya.
True Paul Kariya. Paul Kariya. All right. Now we're going to go to the
Dirt Bag of the Week. I think I know who you might have in mind for this.
The Rat. I don't know if you saw this, but he basically cheap shotted my boy Maxime Comtois. And then when Comtois went to sucker punch him, he ducked.
The rat. There he is again.
It's kind of a dirtbag move. You know, take the hit. I mean,
he could win that award almost every week.
You know, no, that's Jack Edwards. We love the rat.
I know.
We love the rat. But, you know, it's kind of a dirtbag move.
It's hard for me to get mad at anybody ducking out of a sucker.
Yeah, you really can't blame somebody for that.
But it was like he didn't laugh. It was like it was very cartoonish. It was very 80s territory days.
How about Claude Lemieux?
How about that sucker
punch
in the documentary?
Good one. But how about Larionov smoking? Whose face? Adam Foote? Did he take Adam Foote's face? And I forgot about that.
Adam Foote's a garbage player too.
He bled him out. Adam Foote was phenomenal.
And Adam Foote,
I'm not an Adam Foote fan.
Adam Foote already had that face. Like it looked like it hit glass every day.
Adam Foote is literally like why they changed the rules. The clutch, the grab, the BS.
He was leaking. Oh my God!
Especially when he was in Columbus, just he was like watching him. It was like watching an old lawnmower trying to get up a hill.
I'm not into him. But this is one thing that the documentary left out was the Chris Draper interview.
No, they showed the whole thing.
The interview, though.
Oh.
Look at my face.
Oh, right.
I have a problem with Draper because he went after Sid for like, you know, oh, he didn't shake hands fast enough. It's like, mm-hmm. You lost. Take it easy.
I've timed that, too. It was fast enough.
All right. We got the Mario Award coming up here.
You guys are animals.
Pia Toscano, L.A. Kings only. Only good thing about the Kings, saying Bob Miller happy birthday, looking as hot as ever. I mean, she's the whole reason to go to the Kings games right now to watch the national anthem. Pia Toscano, L.A. Kings own, with the Lemieux Award. All right, now here we go. The Claude Lemieux Award.
Oh, boy.
Speak of the devil.
Yeah, here he is.
Little killed by death Motorhead. Claude Lemieux Award goes to Mr. Garland of the Desert Dogs, the Phoenix Coyotes scoring coming right out of the penalty box.
Which is what Nate is trying to stop.
Exactly. Be no more Claude Lemieux. You're trying to get rid of the Claude Lemieux Award.
Get it out of the game.
That's fun. That's fun stuff. Come out of the box. Get the puck on your
side.
You'd still come out after 2 minutes.
Sit in there, feel shame.
I guess you're right.
You know, you'd
still it wouldn't be like a major where you have to stop the.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I
told you my quick Claude Lemieux story.
Tell it again.
Well, I saw him at the Laugh Factory. He was at Laugh Factory.
Oh, wow.
And he's out by the ballet.
How many tables did he take up?
Well, I noticed he wasn't laughing. He never laughs. So he's out at the valet, and I ran up to him, and I go, I'm a Red Wing fan. How are you? And then I go, I hate you, and I ran. He looked like he was a scary-looking dude.
Yeah, he's Satan incarnate. Yeah, he's just sitting there with a bottle of absinthe. Nobody around him, just by himself.
Didn't laugh once.
Skirt of the week. We have Jack Eichel just absolutely What, three Habs just standing there? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Three skirts right there. And then we have my boy Morgan Riley in Toronto getting housed, getting danced by Kevin Shattenkirk.
Shattenkirk. Wow.
You're going to let Shattenkirk?
And Riley has been great offensively. He had 4 assists the other night.
Yeah.
He has been moving the puck great. He has been bad in his own zone.
I agree with that 100%.
A lot of giveaways.
That's true, yeah.
100%. And Sid, I could have gave it to Manson because Sid just owned Manson. Oh. He wore Manson like a $3 suit from Ross. I mean, our boy Manson, Big Dave, not Dave, his son, but from the Duckies, Sid just threw him down. Sid just threw him down with one arm. I mean, come on, Manson. We jump one real quick. Dio, it's got to go. The Pasta Man. 4. The Grand Salami.
Yeah.
On Columbus Day.
Right?
You got to love it. Columbus Day,
against
everybody.
Against the Ducks.
You got to love it.
How about our Pro Bear Award? There you go. Got some good candidates.
We got Lafferty of the Pens. Got screwed over. It wasn't a rough. It was a fight. 2 goals and a rough. Should have been a fight. But Pageau versus Point and Stone versus Yossi.
I'm going with Lafferty.
That's what I say. The kid.
The kid.
Two goals in a fight.
Come on. Stick
it up for a teammate.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to get flack for this. But I'm only going to go, there's tons of saves. We're going to run out of time. So I'm going to say, you know, I'm not going to be a petty Flyer fan. Carter Hart.
Best
on Taylor Hall.
That was a great save.
Yeah. You know, the people, oh, the greatest save ever. Come on. It's in October. I know I only play big games on October, Philly. But I'm not going to be like a crap Philly fan who doesn't understand greatness. I'm not going to hate Carter Hart just because he wears that puke creamsicle color. That was a great save. I'm not going to be one of those people can't understand. When they see Crosby, they can't understand greatness. I understand greatness in that save.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other good saves, but we're out of time. So there you go. Carter Hart. Live it up, Philly fans. You don't deserve it.
What do Philly fans say about Sid Crosby?
They're jealous.
Yeah, but what do they say about him?
What do you think? All the bad words we can't say on this family podcast.
Yeah. Who's our goon of the week? A lot of goons.
Tons to pick from. We'll let Nate pick since he likes mixing it up.
I haven't been watching the league.
No, we're giving you here. Holzer runs our buddy Adam Johnson. Sweaty Teddy comes to his defense. Foline absolutely destroys Earn of your Red Wings with the people's elbow. Dustin Rhodes. Let me tell you something, Daddy. DeBrusk runs Rooney in New Jersey. Dumba crushes Letang. Dumba, I love Dumba. I love Dumba. He crushed Letang. Not for that, but then Johnson, before that, Johnson crushed Dumba. That made Hartman come after Johnson. That's where Lefty stepped in. Camphor of Boston de-skated Delzato of the Duckies. Oh, my God. That was like, that was Scott Stevens. That was a Scott Stevens was happy watching that from the set. Shaw the other night, Shaw back in Chicago took Person to the woodshed of the Oilers. Did you see that hit behind the net? Did you see that hit, Andy?
Yeah, I did.
Oh my God, that was an old school. That was beautiful. And then you had McDavid was mixing it up with one of the Blackhawks. I forget who right now. Nikushkin fought Lewington. You had Point versus Pedro. Gourde versus Gabaleski. What do we got here? I like Stahl crushing Drew Doughty last night. Stepan, kind of cheap shot, and Adam Lowry. Phil, Adam Lowry ran Phil. Phil turned around and swung his stick at Adam Lowry. It's pretty cool. Phil showing some nuts.
Phil getting famous for that move, by the way. Remember when he tried to chop down John Scott like a tree? He loves to swing that stick.
Well, he's a goal scorer. Phil gets hands dirty.
Well, that's true.
Phil gets hands. It's up to you, sir.
Offense over everything. Give the Goon Award to McDavid. I want to see McDavid being hit. Oh, he got hit. I want to.
Yeah,
see
I just forget. Who
I
did
thought
it.
You were saying he did.
Oh, it was the kid on. Oh, geez, I'm forgetting the kid on. It was DeHaan. DeHaan can't kind of ran McDavid, and then hell broke loose.
The DeBrusque play. I love him as a player. I also Shaw's. He made the team again in Chicago, huh?
Well, he got traded a couple of years ago and he came back.
Yeah, I know. I know he came back. But, I mean, I just it's just. It's some system guys.
So Chicago's your
team.
They
still got Saad too.
Yeah, Saad's been playing pretty good
too.
Yeah, I love. He's the second man crush on this show after Luch.
Yeah, we all love Saad.
Love Saad. Pittsburgh kid.
Is he? All right.
I real quick. I thought you were Minnesota native, right?
From Madison, Wisconsin.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. No, because I thought I was going to ask you about the Wild, but you don't have to explain Barbecue Bruce. Hot seat.
I'm a big Suter fan. Suter fan.
He looks terrible. Oh, yeah. Oh God. He looks terrible. Talk about cashing a check.
Hey man.
The Wilds.
Madison, Wisconsin.
Great player in his day.
Badger.
The Wilds.
Madison kid.
The
congrats on your
Madison
football
kid.
Team.
Thank you very much. They look good.
Yeah, they do.
They stuck us with the 9 a.m. kickoff though against Ohio State.
I always hate that out here.
That's a giant.
That's going to be a heck of a game, man.
You're moving and grooving. Your plugs. Go see Nate. He's hilarious. And a great dude.
Great comic.
Thank you, buddy. NateCraig.com, at NateCraigLive on Instagram, Hype Man on Twitter.
It's always confusing when I'm looking for you. It's like, oh, what's his name?
I know. I move around. nobody cares about Twitter anymore. But
Come on. It's my go-to.
I'll be all over the place. And I'll be in Milwaukee December 21st and 22nd at the Underground Comedy Theater. I'll be at the Majestic in Madison. December 27th. That's all Christmas week, and then I have a bunch of dates on my website. Check me out next spring. I'll be all over the place.
Sweet, go see. He's funny. He's funny.
Great to have you on the show, buddy.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Not just because we love him and we think he's cool. He's funny.
He is a funny guy.
Put down your money, and you're playing the hockey. You're playing the hockey, our hockey hotbed city. So go see him.
I just want to plug next Wednesday on the 23rd. Rita House is back. It's monthly.
You're
show.
Back with Rita House.
On the 23rd, I'll be
time
hosting.
Time is flying.
It's like
every week.
Yeah, come down to the fashion club that somehow has me host the show. But on the 23rd at 8 o'clock.
I'm probably going to swing by next week.
Yeah, come do a guestie.
I've got Laugh Factory on Friday night, Improv on Saturday night in Hollywood.
Man, you run this town, dude.
Well, yeah. But then I'm also at the HaHa. And
you also run the Valley.
Yeah, well, I'm trying to cover all my bases. And then we have a radio show on Sunday night. And coming up, we have Alice Cooper, the great Alice Cooper.
Oh, right on. I'll be there Sunday. Sunday.
And you're going to be on the show, Joe.
Yeah, I'm either going to be at the Ice House, Ice House tonight for sure. This is Wednesday. Either HaHa Friday. And then somewhere in LA Saturday, it's somewhere in South Bay. And then I'm at the Ventura Comedy Club Sunday. Or it will be Andy filling in for me everywhere because I got something going on.
You might have something
awesome.
Big, buddy.
Something going on.
Yeah. So, look buddy, for Joe on TV.
Two questions. What's the hockey hotbed city?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee is?
They love Puck Off, yeah.
I love it. Awesome. Milwaukee's such a great town.
That's our town. And Go Smoke a Stick with my boys. They
you got your cigar place there. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. And then a couple real quick.
Also, find me on Spotify. Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, wherever you find
me. First-minute goals. Most first-minute goals since 87-88. 11. Sidney, Joe Thornton, and Stevie Y with 11. Four-point games since then. Four-point games in the last 2 years. Cooch, 10. Steven Stamkos, 8. McJesus, 7.
Wow.
Goals for Oilers in first four games. First four games for the Oilers, goals. Doesn't even include the last game. This is the first four games. They had played 5. Glenn Anderson, 6, 87-88. Mr. Gretzky, 6, 83-84. The real deal, Mr. October, James Neal, with 7. And a personal favorite of mine, 4 assists in one period by a Leafs player. It's only happened twice. Morgan Riley last night and Rick Vive. Rick Vive's claim to fame was I heard Lemieux MF him in a penalty box one time. It was great. Lemieux had 8 points going in like the middle of the third, and Vive took him off on a 4-on-4 rough. And Lemieux just MF'd him in the penalty box. That was right there.
Nice.
The greatest thing ever. Young, like 2 year Lemieux.
By the way, I love seeing Stevie Y in the dock.
Oh, how great did he look?
Awesome.
Everybody, Proby, it was old school. I still say that Stevens hit was the greatest thing.
That was the greatest thing of all. What a hit. Wow.
That goal they kept showing where they were doing that where everybody touched the puck. They had the Hoosiers goal.
It was just like bing, 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 bing,
and then threw the D to Fedorov, and it's just like, what? These guys are changing.
Lottie had a big hit in that
Emma,
puck, too.
Thank you so much. Rube, thanks for being quiet.
She was quiet the whole time. Yeah.
Thank you for your service.
Want to thank our guest, Jenny Fedorovich, did I get it?
Yes.
And Andy Picaro, thank you. Our special guest, Nate Craig, thanks, buddy. Great to see you,
thanks,
man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Joe Bartnick, I heard you did just great with Bill Burr down there on your last trip.
Yeah, it was fun.
Everybody said you guys had a great show. And we want to thank the troops and all the
Thanks
listeners.
Everyone that came out to Charlotte, too. That was a lot of fun. Just me headlining the Comedy Zone was great. But then, in the mountain town, Asheville, I had fun. I had great sets. And then Burr has a new hour and a half. Go see the Podfather.
Unbelievable.
New hour and a half.
He's the best. We thank you all for joining us. We are Puck Off. We are out.